This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Let's begin with the Holy Father, as we always do. Pope Francis held his Wednesday papal audience this morning indoors. What was the main message of Pope Francis?
He sure did. And in fact, today he was concluding the catechesis that he has been giving on the topic of apostolic zeal. And he finished that series by speaking about the reality that every baptized person is actually called to witness and to announce the gospel to everyone. He said every Christian from the beginning is involved in this process. And he looked back to the sacrament of baptism. And he said that the rite comes from Jesus' miraculous healing of the deaf and dumb man in Galilee. And that shows us that Jesus is able to open the ears and the mouths of those who can't hear or speak, where deafness and muteness in the Bible are signifying metaphorically being closed to God's call. And he spoke about the word aphaphia, and this is a word that Jesus spoke, and in Aramaic, it means to be opened. And he said that that word is really an invitation that's not only addressed to the deaf and dumb specifically who couldn't hear him, but also to all of his disciples at that time and in all times. So he said that all have to be ready to receive the aphaphia of the Spirit in baptism, and that everyone is called to be open. And that's because the gospel message needs every person to bear witness to it and to proclaim it. And to do that, every Christian has to be open to the word and has to be open to serving others. And then he left everyone with a series of questions. He asked everyone, he gave everyone a little homework, which he does sometimes. He asked them to ask themselves, do I truly love the Lord to the point of wanting to announce him? And do I want to become his witness? Or am I just content to be his disciple? And do I take to heart the people I meet and bring them to Jesus in prayer? And do I want to do something so that the joy of the gospel, which has transformed my life, might make other people's lives more beautiful too? And then today the Pope finished up the general audience by making an urgent appeal specifically for a ceasefire in negotiations between Israel and Palestine. And he prayed that all hostages were freed. He prayed that humanitarian aid reach Gaza. And he said the words no to weapons and yes to peace, John.
Well, this is something that he has been constantly praying for now for some time since the beginning of this war. So we, all of us, unite our hearts and minds with the Holy Father and continue to pray for peace, not only in the Middle East, but as Pope Francis has prayed before, in Ukraine and also in Africa, with the wars that are going there, I believe in the Sudan as well. Just a quick thought, Ashley, about the Holy Father encouraging us to be open to the Word of God. I know that the Word of God is so important to Pope Francis that he actually instituted a Sunday, a feast dedicated to the Word of God, Word of God Sunday, which will be coming up a little bit later in January.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, he is asking all the faithful to really be open to the Spirit, because it's only through knowing and then being able to witness to and proclaim the Word of God that the Christ can can be shared with the world. So he asks everyone to be open to the Holy Spirit, and especially to get to know Jesus through Scripture even more closely and dearly.
And Ashley, the Holy Father has also made some news. He's actually revealed his plans for his burial someday. This is big news. Mm-hmm. The Associated Press has a huge story. It's all over the internet. Can you share with us a little bit about Pope Francis's plans?
Yes, indeed. So Pope Francis has said that his tomb is actually already prepared, and And it's inside of the Basilica of St. Mary Major, Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome. And this is the same church that Pope Francis has visited more than 100 times since he has become Pope, where he has stopped to pray in front of that beautiful icon, Maria Salus Populi Romani, or Our Lady of the Health of the People of Rome. And he stops there before and after his abroad trips. Well, he said that this is where he has requested to be laid to rest. And it's quite significant, too, that that we're hearing about this today. Today is the 54th anniversary of his priesthood. The Holy Father also is just a few days away from his 87th birthday. And he has also said that he has no thoughts of resigning. He did also pay tribute to Pope Benedict XVI. He called him a great and humble man who, when he realized his limitations, had the courage to say enough. Those were the words of Pope Francis. And he also spoke about, in this interview where he spoke about his tomb, he talked about that he may simplify the papal funeral rituals. We'll see what exactly he means by those words. But in the meantime, we know for sure that he will be entombed inside of the Church of St. Mary Major, which is a Vatican basilica dating back to the 5th century, John.
It's only fitting when you consider just the love and the devotion that Pope Francis has to our Blessed Mother Mary, that he would be buried in, I believe, the oldest basilica dedicated to Mary, at least in the Western Church.
Yes, that's right. It is. And in fact, also St. Jerome is laid to rest there, Pope Sixtus V, John Lorenzo Bernini. So yes, that's where he will remain.
Yeah, but it'll be a little outside of tradition when you consider that so many other popes, beginning with St. Peter himself and Pope St. John Paul II and so many others are buried at St. Peter's Basilica underneath.
Yes, there are many popes at St. Peter's Basilica, although there are also popes in other places too, sometimes from their country of origin, sometimes in a church that maybe was their titular church or a church that was very important to them or to their families. So yeah, you're right. Most popes are in St. Peter's itself.
And Ash, I could just imagine how festive Rome must be looking these days. I understand there's even a bagpipe playing shepherds. Maybe our own Glenn Leverance can just move aside.
Wow. Yes. Well, indeed. So you may have actually even heard their unique music resounding all the way across the sea, John, because it's just that interesting. So these are actual shepherds. They dress in traditional sheepskin and woolen cloaks, and they wear these peaked hats, and they come into Rome from their mountain homes to perform these traditional music, these traditional hymns, and they walk throughout the city of Rome, and everybody looks forward to it every year. So they play an instrument that's called the zampogna. It's an ancient wind instrument. It's made of animal hide. It actually has two reeds, so it's different from the typical bagpipes, although the sound is a bit similar. And oftentimes they're accompanied by another instrument called the pifaro, which is a wind instrument that's similar to the oboe. Now, a lot of times when you look at cribs or nativity scenes in Italy, you'll see that they've put little figurines that represent the zampogna inside. And so you can see the little shepherds are playing music on their bagpipes, and it looks like they are playing right there out of love for the baby Jesus. So sure enough, as you're walking through the streets of Rome, it's pretty hard to miss when the zampognari are passing by, John.
Well, today is also the feast of St. Lucy, Santa Lucia. I'm sure it's a big celebration in Rome.
It is indeed. In fact, thanks to the Embassy of Sweden to Italy, they're putting on a big choral celebration. And so this lovely choir is coming, and all of these young ladies from Sweden wear white gowns with a red sash, and they wear actual garland around their heads with lit candles in them. This is reminding us of St. Lucy herself. And it said that she would wear a head garland similar to that, as she would light the way, as she would bring food to the poor and to the sick. And so indeed, in addition to this wonderful choir that's going to be performing in Rome, there's some other festivities too. In fact, down south in Sicily, where Santa Lucia is very beloved, they're having a big grand procession carrying her image through the streets. And then afterwards, here on National Cocoa Day, it's quite interesting because one of the traditions is that people drink hot chocolate with it's more like a dessert. It's hot chocolate with wheat in it, cooked wheat in it. And the wheat represents her eyes, because the story goes that she had these beautiful eyes. And when a man fell in love with her and she informed him that she was not interested in marriage, the story goes that he had her eyes gouged out. But so those pieces of wheat are representative of her eyes and of her sacrifice for her faith. So sure enough, on this National Cocoa Day, as you all were talking about before, in Italy, people are drinking that too. And I have to tell you that there's some places in Rome where you can order hot chocolate that's so thick that you have to eat it with a spoon.
Wow. How do you say a hot cocoa or a chocolate in Italian?
You say cioccolata caldo. Cioccolato caldo.
Cioccolato caldo. It sounds pretty good. Meanwhile, I know you're still in India there with your family. Briefly share with us a little bit about how Advent and Christmas is celebrated Bangalore, India.
Well, you know, it's such a festive type of celebration here. Every Christian home hangs a big star in front of their home that's lit with big bulbs from the inside. So as you walk the streets, you know there's homes that are celebrating Christmas. We went to a big formal dance at a club called the Catholic Club this weekend. It's called Mistletoe. And there was caroling, there was dancing, and then this lovely, lovely band and music. On Christmas Eve itself will be an event called Cake and Wine, where after the midnight mass, everyone from around the whole city, and masses really are at midnight here, they'll gather at the Catholic Club around 1 a.m. and they'll be handed a little piece of plum cake and a little bit of port wine, and everyone will toast Jesus, toast the birth of Christ, and celebrate and dance all through the night, and then carry on to go to the 6 a.m. Mass on Christmas Day. So what a festive and wonderful way to celebrate Christmas, John.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.